And I want to talk today about a few things. We do a Torah portion and we go through the Torah, and our cycle this week is Tazria and Mesorah. And you can see the scriptures, and there's half Torah scriptures that we can see in Kings and Ezekiel and New Testament in Matthew, Mark, and Hebrews and Romans. And I encourage you, if you're not getting these, give Wendy your email and you'll get these every Sunday. But I encourage you to read the scriptures. The New Testament scriptures are based upon the Torah portion, so they're relevant. They're not just some scriptures out there. But the fact is, the more we read the Word of God, the more you read the Word of God and pray about the Word of God, the more God's Spirit is going to be upon you and on you. And right now in America, the body of Messiah, called the church, needs to be transformed. I was raised Pentecostal, and they had a saying that we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We all do. By the evidence of speaking in tongues. Well, I've been around a lot of tongue speakers, and I've been disappointed. But I can tell you one thing. I have seen a lot of people filled with the Holy Spirit because they've been transformed. And people that are transformed, they have a new heart. And we should realize what the heart's all about. So as we go through this, here we go. Well, this tells you about some things about, let me go back some, I don't know how many slides it went through. Are you doing it, Matt? Well, I won't go backwards. There we go. I want to educate you on some concepts that are very strong. The New Testament talks about demons. And we get so caught up about demons, what was that black comedian? Flip Wilson. Flip Wilson had taught us a new doctrine, and so we sort of inherited that doctrine about how the devil maybe do it. So we always got a concept of demons, but God says that He will test us. God's people are His, and He will test them. He will purify them. And in the Old Testament, we don't have demons, but we have unclean and clean. And unclean is the realm of darkness, and the realms that we see in the New Testament as demons. And I don't know why that got translated that way, but unclean is something that we need to be aware of. So say this out loud, Tamai. Tamai. And clean is Tahor. And we're going to learn those terms. And I want you to be very aware of it, what's clean and unclean. And I also want you to be aware that nothing can make you unclean unless you fall into the realms of death. And unclean is something, animals were either clean or unclean, but people can become impure, tamai, ethically, spiritually, and in a religious manner. And then you must keep the children of Israel. How many here know you're a child of Israel? You've been grafted into the commonwealth, according to Paul. And you're a child of the king. You're a child of the spiritual concept of Israel, which is you're to be separate, or nidah, which is a form of separation from unclean, from the things of the world that defile them, that makes them unclean. And here we go. I don't know why I went backwards. Here we go. The word clean is tahor. So what was unclean? Tamai. And what's clean? So we need to be aware of these things, and you need to be aware of what's unclean. The Bible has Leviticus 11. These are clean foods. These are foods that God says. And He names certain animals, and these are not food. Now the Bible translates it as these are animals that are unclean. But God wants us to know the difference. And I'm not here to preach about what you should eat. I don't care what you eat. But I do care what God tells me to eat. Because God is moving in a way that we're not followers of a doctrine. We are followers of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God moves in different ways. And so some people are led by the Spirit to do this. Some people aren't there yet, or some people may never be there. But the fact is, God is on my heart to keep clean out of my, or clean in my body and unclean out of my body as much as I possibly can. So clean is to be made clean physically, spiritually, the ritual process of physical purification, like the purity of refined gold. And that's the way God is doing with us. He's putting us on the burner, and the dross is coming up, and God's scraping it off because he wants his bride spotless, without wrinkle. And that's something that only the Holy Spirit. You can try all you want to be spotless, but you'll still be spotted. And God is doing a work right now. Somebody say, God is doing a work, and say, praise God. Amen. He is. And Zarus is a skin disease translated as leprosy. But the word does not mean leprosy. This is something only God can heal. And we need to realize this. The realm of unclean, Zara. So the law of Zara, so the results of unclean and sin in our lives. And sin leads to realms of unclean. Most of the time, unclean is not a sin. Unclean is a status. And when you got baptized, you had a status of death on your life. And you went in the water, and God cleansed you from the inside, and your status changed from death, unclean, to life and clean. So somebody praise God. And sometimes we've unfortunately taken the Catholic concept, which was taught, you know, many hundreds of years ago, that we are to be baptized one time. But the Hebrew concept, in which happens to be what Jesus was raised in, is their baptism, or mikveh, as it's called, is whenever you're unclean. You go out and you dunk in the water. And the physical is very important, because when we do the physical, the spirit's got to follow. And so like I think when you said last week, or somebody said, when we're unclean or you're angry, go wash your hands. You know, clean hands, clean heart. And the form of mikveh is to constantly be aware of the realms of death in our life. And the realms of death have to do with what we allow in our life, and we need to be aware of it and be clean. And if we're clean, praise God, God can use you. So how many want to be used? Then wash your hands. Okay. So what's in your heart? Metzora is a heart condition. Metzora is known as the Walking Dead. And from Metzora, Hollywood has taken over and made movies about the Walking Dead. You know, and now we got zombies and all these weird things. But the Walking Dead are just people with the mark of Satan on their lives. They're walking in death until they have a status change, until they become born again. When you became born again, your status changed, right? And you are no longer marked with death, and you're marked with life. And the blood of the Lamb is now on you, which we talk about during Passover. And the blood of the Lamb is the mark of Yeshua, the mark of Jesus Christ. And I like to call him Yeshua, HaMashiach. And so Yeshua taught this concept of Metzora in Revelation 3:16. 3:15 and 16. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. So what is cold, neither cold or hot? Lukewarm. I would that you were cold or hot. Why does God want us to be cold or hot and not lukewarm? To stand for something. When you're complacent, it's really hard to deal with you. The best way to deal with complacent people is to take a bat up against the side of the head. But the reality is, God wants you cold. If you're cold, he can bring life in you, and you can see it. If you're hot, you're already there. Praise God. And so because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm going to what? Vomit you out of my mouth. That's because you're dead. We don't eat dead. And so God is going to spew you out of his mouth. And that, to me, is a form of Metzora, the Walking Dead. And Metzora is a heart condition, and the heart is loving God with all your heart. And we see both in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 10 and 30, and Jeremiah 4:4, that we are commanded to have uncircumcised heart. I love the way God tells Moses in Deuteronomy 10:16. He tells Moses to tell us we are to have a circumcised heart. Well, in chapter 30, it's like God saying, well, 20 chapters earlier, I told you to do it, and since you haven't done it, I will circumcise your heart, and I will circumcise your life. I will be to you your life. And with a circumcised heart, does anybody understand that circumcised heart?
Yeah.
It's really explained in the New Covenant, which I'm going to get into. I call that circumcision of the heart surgery, loving, spirit-filled heart surgery. The God of life is our surgeon. It's cutting away, the surgeon's job. Now, we have the New Covenant in the New Testament, with Hebrews, and we also have it in Jeremiah. You know, we are to have a circumcised heart. He will write the law or the Torah on our mind or heart. And that heart, we need to realize, is something that we should see here in Ezekiel. And I want you to see this. This is a little different than Hebrews and Jeremiah. In chapter 36, verse 25. And I shall sprinkle clean water on you, mikveh, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. Now recognize what's in our life as idols. Now, it's not like old, you know, we've got a little idol in the back, and we open a closet, and we go, oh, hail, you know, idol and all that. But we worship different ways, and we have different forms of idols in our lives. So ask God to reveal these things. He will. And so in verse 26, wow, what's next? Okay. And I shall give you a new heart. Somebody say, hallelujah, praise God. And I will put a new spirit within you. Do you realize we have a heart and a spirit? We're born with a heart and a spirit. We're born with the mark of the Antichrist. We're born with a mark of death. And every person that's born has to have a transformation and get the seal of Messiah, the birth of the message from God, to be born again, to have the Spirit of God cleanse you from the inside out. And he will put a new heart on us and a new spirit within me. Somebody, well, yeah, thank you. That's what I want to say. And I shall take out the heart of stone out of your flesh. Do you realize our heart, our human hearts are called the heart of stone out of our flesh. And I shall give you a heart of flesh, which means his heart. He shall give us his heart. And I believe this is one of the most important things in the Bible, is we need to have his heart. With his heart, I have now a desire. God says, I will give you the desires of your heart in Psalms. And so we go, whoa, cool, let's do this. I want a new house. I want a new car. I want lots of, red wine, whatever. But the fact is, God wants you to realize that you have a new heart. You have his heart. So now that you have his heart, he will give you the desires of his heart, which is now in your heart. So it's your heart. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Somebody say, wow, praise God, I want to have God's heart and God's desires in my life. When we have God's desire in our life, we're hungry for him. We're hungry and thirsty for righteousness. We're hungering for God's authority. We're hungry for the Spirit of God to move. We're hungry for God to see God's Spirit on our people. And so if we have God's heart, we want to come against lukewarm. We want to come against the realms of death in our families, in our churches, in our nation. And the hunger that God puts on your heart is to see God's authority working. And if God's authority is not working, and we don't really care, oh, well, we'll leave that up to the pastors. And so Pastor Mike, Pastor Winning, Pastor Matt, it's up to you to change the world. No, God says, I put my spirit on you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and start prophesying. I was at a prayer meeting the other day with a bunch of people from all sorts of weird churches. And what was amazing is they let us in. We're Sabbath keepers. Oh, my God. Oh, praise God. But the fact is, we prayed with them. And both Wendy and I got up and prayed, and I preached a sermon as well. And the next guy got up, and the guy in charge of it, he said, "Now, no preaching, just pray." And I'm like, I wonder why he said that after I did it. But what I was saying was that we need to see pastors on fire for God, because our churches are the way they are because we've got pastors who are into entertainment and jokes as opposed to the Word of God. And the Word of God is what changes lives. The Word of God is what puts a fire in our hearts. And Paul says it's preaching that's going to change people's lives. And you know, I might say 100 things and you might take one thing out of it. But if you take one thing and you pray about it and you test it and God moves upon your life, then the Spirit of God is alive. And God is moving today. God is real. And I met a pastor there, and Wendy told me that in this valley was a rash of high school suicides a few years ago. And this guy in this ministerial alliance got people to pray for these suicides and come against the realms of death. And what Wendy told me is suicides stopped that next year. There weren't any. And I began to see the power of prayer. Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and high places. Then he says the weapons we have, amen, the weapons you have, are more powerful than the weapons of the world. And the weapons you have will bring down strongholds, every stronghold. And we haven't realized that. Look at the strongholds in your life. Look at the habits sometimes you can't break. Look at the family structure and the family that has children that are lost and has aunts and uncles that don't care. But God's authority, our weapons, and the prayer, and as we come together, when two or three come together, the power of Jesus Christ is right there. He says, "I'm with you. I am for you. Who can be against God's power and God's authority?" And we need to really prophesy and watch our vocabulary. You know, I mentioned this in that meeting while I was preaching. I said, we need to be careful because our vocabulary says, "Oh God, I pray for my kid, my husband, my wife, my family." And then tomorrow, "Oh God, I pray for my family." And then tomorrow, and then tomorrow, and then I'm still praying, oh God, because I'm a beggar. And God told me, I'm not a beggar, I'm a child of God. Amen. If I'm a child of God, then I'm going to say, "God, I prayed for my family, and now I believe that it's up to you, and I'm going to start thanking you." So praise God for my family. Praise God for my wife. Praise God for this fellowship. Praise God from people from Moab. Praise God. I don't know why, but praise God from Moab. You know, I never thought I'd like Moabites. So anyway, as we begin to see God's authority, now you might have done this years ago. Don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. I've seen this so many times that when we pray for something, do you know that we prayed that we get out of debt and we're now, that God brought a fire and our insurance company paid everything and now we're out of debt? I don't know where we got all this money, but we've got money that we're thinking about adding on the front. We're trying to get plans done. If we ever get plans done, then I can get a bid and see if we can afford to pop out that wall and put classrooms over there and over here, make this all a nursery over here. Put an office in over there so Mike and Wendy can come study and do sermons and meet people here. But anyway, and it'll change the front. So when you drive by and you say, "You see that ugly warehouse over there? That's where I go to church." "Oh, praise God." And it'll be broken up and there'll be a nice entry. And it'll look more like a church. Anyway, but you know, it's because we prophesied. We changed our vocabulary. "Oh, God, help us. Help us with our money. Help us with tithes." You know, we don't promote tithing and offering. We just say, "God said it. It's a commandment. Do it." So it's up to you. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. Led by God's Spirit to see what God is going to do and test it. And God tells us to test him. And we need to see this new spirit. And what I was saying about vocabulary is we don't need to be beggars anymore. Somebody in the back, holler out, I'm a child of God. Praise God. Thank you. I was just seeing if you're awake back there. So, if we're children of the King, can't we say, Your Majesty, I've got some friends, they're called children. I've got some friends and family that don't know God or aren't walking with God. Will you answer my prayer and let me thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing. And if he's not doing work, you reminded him. So God doesn't forget. But God wants to see your families walking in God's kingdom. He wants to see the people in your lives touched by God. How many people complain a lot about your work or your boss? Don't raise your hands. But the Spirit of God is so strong that we can begin to say, thank you for my boss. Thank you for the working conditions. They might be bad or there might be this, but you know what? When you see God move into your work, things are going to change. And the prophecy that I'm talking about is a vocabulary. Praise God. Thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in my work. And thank you for my spouse. And thank you for my finances. Praise God. Thank you for my being debt-free. And God will begin to show you how you can get debt-free. Because it comes by Spirit, not by might, not by your power, but by my Spirit. Thus saith Yahweh. So somebody say, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. How come I only hit it once. One time. Okay, one time more. Next slide, please, Matt. Or Kyla, okay. I can't see Kyla. There she is. Okay, then what will happen after he puts a new heart in us? And I put my Spirit within you, and this is what God will do. When he changes your heart, when you're full of his heart, his Spirit, guess what? I will cause you. Oh, wow. If you're ever having a problem with sin or some habits and you can't get rid of them, you still got that same problem with this, then guess what? Go to God and say, you said you would cause me to walk in your ways, your statutes. The actual word there is your hukim, commandments from the word of God, the Torah. And you will guard, shamar, guard the word of God on my life and my right rulings, my mishpah. And I shall do them. So with his surgery on my heart, my heart is now Tamai. What's Tamai? Clean. And can you name some other areas that keep our hearts unclean? Think about it. Think about our thinking, our stinking thinking. So here's one time. Kyla, help me. Take me back one. There we go. Okay, here are just some areas. A critical spirit. We used to have somebody in our church that used to criticize everything. It didn't matter who preached, Pastor Matt or myself or somebody else. They'd always find something wrong and they'd come up and tell me how they should straighten me out or straighten out Pastor Matt or straighten out this. And finally I said, why is it you have such a critical spirit? And they didn't realize it, and it just shocked them. But anyway, have you ever had unforgiveness in your heart? I tell you right now, unforgiveness will keep everything in your life without his power. You can work your tail off. You can try hard. You can pound on the walls, and there won't be one benefit by the Spirit as long as you have death in your life called unforgiveness. Dissension, selfish ambitions. You know, a lot of times churches have an ambition that's not of God. I mean, when I was a kid, I was a missionary to Marshall Islands, and had, you know, because I'm so weird and stuff, had really good response, and people were, you know, saying, well, you're going to go far, you know, and this one guy said, here, read this book, and I read a couple of books about certain missionaries in Africa, and it's like, my ambition was to preach to a million lost souls in Africa, and anyway, that God showed me that was my desire, not his. And Does anybody know what Lashon Hara means?
Yes.
Okay, Lashon in Hebrew is tongue. Ha is Zah, and Ra is evil. So evil tongue. And the evil tongue is something, I had a whole section on this, but I cut it out because of the time. But the evil tongue itself causes many different areas of division. I mean, there's something like 70 scriptures in the Old and New about the tongue, how the tongue is like a rudder and will take your ship the wrong way. Your tongue is evil, and it's from a heart. And so some of the other areas is not being the light in the soul, our bad thoughts, not taking those thoughts captive. Paul says we are to take every thought captive, make every thought obedient to the will of Christ. We are to take every thought and make it obedient to his will. And how many figured out that's impossible? I had a bunch of college kids, and I gave them a homework assignment. I said, okay, this week, go out and take every thought captive. I mean, the problems you have in college and less problems and everything. And they came back, and everybody said, I failed. Because we realized it's impossible to take our thoughts captive. But God can. And so when I have a problem or I have an evil thought or something, I say, oh, Father God, I want you to take my thoughts captive because I can't do it. But it's being aware of God's Spirit in our life is very important. And Galatians 5, 19 and 20, these are called various works of the flesh. So immorality, uncleanliness, indecency, idolatry, drugs, sorcery, hatred, quarrels, jealousy, fits of anger, rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, murder, physical and spiritual, drunkenness, wild parties. Next slide, please. And the like. Okay. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful. This is really important because we don't realize that our heart sometimes, our flesh heart, is very deceitful above all and beyond cure. Who can understand it? It's a true lack of humility. Only God can understand it. Good point. In Mark 7, he went on, what comes out of a man is what makes a man unclean. Why would something come out of me and my words are unclean? It's because I have unclean out of the abundance of my heart. The abundance is going to come forth in my words. And so from within, out of the man's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from the inside and make a man unclean. If it's coming from the inside, shouldn't we test what we take in? Actually, the Word of God says we're to test everything. If we were to test everything, we would be on a page excited about seeing the kingdom of God being revealed. The kingdom of God is being revealed right now to those who are full of the Spirit of God, to those who've had a heart transformation. And the kingdom of God, you know, I love the new covenant where God says, I will write the Torah on your mind and your spirit. And we sometimes forget about the Torah. The Torah is not law. The Torah is not legalism. The Torah is God's loving instruction. And quite frankly, I ignored it before, and now God's put it on my heart. I want to please God. If God is the same yesterday, today, forever, then what he said yesterday is so good for me today. Because what's good for me today is going to usher in tomorrow. And the kingdom of God is going to be ushered in, not by some magical spirit of Jesus Christ. It's going to be ushered in by those who are full of the Spirit of God, their people. And people are going to see God's glory, God's kingdom. And the bride are God's kingdom. The bride is Messiah on this earth, the Spirit of Messiah. And the bride is going to say, come. The bride is going to be the ones who are going to see God's glory and God's Spirit. God's glory and God's Spirit, we sometimes hold back because we are having a hard time with the reality that God's kingdom is God's people. God's people are walking in the spirit of Messiah and walking with that desire to serve God. How many here realize what I'm saying? Amen. So praise God. It is now. Don't, can I go back one, Carla? Don't even think bad thoughts. Ecclesiastes 10:20 talks about our thoughts. And we see Paul talk about to give our thought captive to Messiah. And David wrote, for as a man thinketh, or as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. So as you think in your heart, so he is. Oh, God, I can't do this, I can't do that. Well, guess what? He can't do this, he can't do that. But as we change our words, you know, Karen and I just had surgery, not together, but a week apart. And so we can't walk very good, we can't do this. But you know what? God says, say what the Spirit would say. And if you're poor, what does the Spirit say? Let the poor say, I'm rich. And that doesn't mean money. It means the Spirit of God in abundance. It means glory. It means happiness. It means God's peace upon our lives. You know, there's an old philosopher. I can't think of his name right off the top of my head. But he said, every person on their deathbed thinks about one thing. Nobody thinks about on their deathbed, gee, I wish I'd spent more time at the office. Gee, I wish I would have made more money. They think about eternity and the peace that they don't have. But the peace of God is all over us. The peace of God is us, because in the midst of turmoil, there is us who walk in peace. And whether we have freedom from the world, we have freedom and peace inside. Okay, so our hearts and our thoughts become our strongholds. And God says he will break every stronghold that needs to be broken. They will our strongholds take root and manifest into our lives. So what is your, what, think about it for a second. What area of your life would you say is a stronghold? Now don't answer me, but think about it. Because our strongholds manifest and take root and take authority over our lives. And so is our stronghold sex, drugs, rock and roll? Is it money? Anger, bitterness? Whatever it is, it's Metzora, infected ones. So somebody say, I am no longer infected, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed, praise God. Next slide, please. Okay, would you stand up and we'll say these things? And before we do, I wanted to open it up with a couple of things. If I can find my phone. I'm going to read it out of Isaiah 60, starting in verse 1. This is God's letter to you. Somebody say, it's to me. Arise and shine, for your light has come. So Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Somebody say, that's me, I'm the light. And the esteem of Yahweh has risen upon you. Somebody say, upon me. For look, darkness covers the earth. Is that true today? Darkness covers the earth. And thick darkness covers the land and the people. But Yahweh arises over you, and his esteem, his glory, is seen upon you. That's why Messiah said, you'll never see me until you say, and you begin to see the esteem of Messiah on one another. Somebody praise God. And the nations, the goyim, shall come to your light, and sovereigns through the brightness of your rising. Amen. So praise God. And I'm going to read you one last thing in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. If I can find it here. 1 Timothy 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. These are just some last-minute scriptures that God gave me. You fight the good fight and of belief, of faith, and lay hold on everlasting life, to which you were called and have confessed the good confession before many witnesses. The reason I want to say that is because I believe that we're called to bear witness, not to the people in the church. How many here know that we're all right now bearing witness to Messiah? We all believe in Yeshua, or Jesus Christ, and we're bearing witness. But God's authority, God's witness is upon you. Doesn't matter. God's glory is upon you. The esteem of God's glory is upon you, which we read in Isaiah. God's glory is on you when you leave here. When you go to work, God's esteem should be part of your witness, because He called us to the ends of the earth. And I told that story to a woman, and she said, "Is that really true?" And I said, "I don't know. I just made it up." But if you take a globe and you find Jesus here in Jerusalem, and you reach it back here, and Jesus said, "You'll bear witness to me to the ends of the earth," it's probably either Moab or Grand Junction. And to the ends of the earth. God commands us to bear witness to Him. And I believe God is doing a mighty work. So read this with me, and we're going to shout, and we're going to praise God. We're going to give God some glory for each one of these things. So let's read the first one. I am His witness to the ends of the earth. Praise God. Somebody thank God for being His witness. Somebody praise God. Thank God. Amen. Whether this is true or not, we are prophesying. So I'm going to say right here, say this out loud. I am overflowing with His presence. Wow. Can you really imagine that? Seeing God's glory? If everybody walked out of here with a little bit of flame, and the fire marshal drives by and he goes, "Oh my God, look at all those people. They're on fire." And that's the authority of the fact that His fire is upon us. His presence. And which brings us right to the next one. Say this next one. I am on fire. Praise God. And now, you remember that old song? I got to tell somebody. I got to just tell somebody what Jesus did for me. So say this. I got to tell somebody. Now, if you said that, you just prophesied. Somebody look at everybody and say, you must be a prophet. Amen. You are a prophet. If you prophesy, I got to tell somebody, then guess what? You got to go tell somebody. You got to tell somebody what Jesus did for you. Did He give you life? Amen. Has He given you peace? Amen. Has He given you eternity? Yes. Well, then why keep it a secret? Why not shout it out to the world? You know, if you found a great pearl of great price or a bag of gold, wouldn't you tell somebody? Yes. Amen. Probably your financial advisor, but... But you got something more valuable than gold or a great pearl. You've got Messiah. Amen. You can't sell it. You can't buy it. But you got it. And it was a gift to you. So all I'm saying is, my prayer that I thank God for is the fact that you guys are on fire. Amen. Is the fact that you guys are God's witness. Amen. Is the fact that you guys are going to go out and bear witness to the fact that Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is Lord of Lords. Amen. I'm not going to go out and convince a Democrat about Republican concepts, about whether Trump was right or wrong, whether Biden, President Harris, is right or wrong. I don't care about those things. God does. But I do care about the fact that God is in control, and I'm going to bear witness to the fact. So, Father, thank You for our meal today. Thank You for the hands that have prepared it. Thank You for those who are going to eat it. Let us have time of fellowship to encourage one another, to lay hands on one another. And for those who are strong, let them prophesy over one another's lives. Let the Spirit of God rule and reign in this own egg fellowship. And may God's anointing be upon every person here. And we thank you so much that we can know that you are God. And I thank you for the small swell that's beginning to break over the shore and the waves that are coming as they get stronger and stronger. In Yeshua's glorious name, praise God. Amen.